Ray Ferraro will join us here in a moment. Leafs Oilers tonight, and you know, if I'm ranking the matchups here, it's still Matthews versus McDavid first, even more so than the team on team. I do get the impression, and I understand where it's coming from, when we mention Matthews versus McDavid, Oilers fans, you know, freak. They're like, they're not on the same level. Talk Matthews versus Drysdale. Even then, they're not on the same level. And at this point, I would agree based on their careers. I mean, Drysdale won the Hart last year. Like, he won the Hart. He was the most valuable player in the league. But the sexier marquee is Matthews and McDavid. And right, that battle is ongoing tonight. We're going to see it four times in the next 10 days. By all accounts, Sheldon Keefe is going to say, let's run it. You know, let's run it up. McDavid gets that all the time. McDavid plays right 25, 27 minutes a night. If he's playing Sid, he's playing Sid. If he's playing Braden Point, he's playing against Point. If it's McKinnon, he's playing against McKinnon. Bergeron, it's Bergeron. Matthews has been more sheltered throughout his career. It appears as if the horse has been let out of the barn, and I could see both of them playing 25 minutes tonight. I could see both of them playing 13, 14 minutes, 5-on-5 against each other tonight. And right, I think it's more about what can Matthews bring to the table. Because I think I know what I'm going to get out of McDavid. I expect a big game. I think his team needs it. I think this will say a lot about the maturity of Matthews tonight if he steps up and runs wild with them. And even if he outperforms them, I think it would say a lot about Austin Matthews.
I think his goal has got to be keep him inside, below the dots in his own end. Because that's the only way you kind of keep him from being effective. He starts winding it up and wheeling around all over the place. Remember that goal he scored the last time he was in that building? Remember that one?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, I was there. I was 20 feet away.
You were calling that game, weren't you?
But, yeah, I was. But what I'm looking at is what the Leafs can do is what Montreal did to Edmonton the other day. Montreal strangled them in the neutral zone. Like, McDavid was frustrated because he didn't have a lot of ice. And it wasn't just one man. It wasn't Philip Deneau. It was Deneau and Gallagher. It was Edmondson stepping up. It was like they did it by committee because Montreal's attention to detail was, hey, we can't allow these guys any open ice. It's different now because I think Toronto just plays a different game. They stretch things out. They want a long pass. They look for to kind of open things up and use their skill. That's where Matthews and McDavid, you know, where if McDavid wants to be slowed down, it's Matthews that has to play with the puck in the offensive zone and force McDavid to play in his own zone because he doesn't want to.
Yeah,
that's going to be the difference.
It will be. And what you also have to learn from the other night, regardless of the way it played out, you can't put Edmonton on the power play seven times, you know, tonight,
right,
and expect them not to score on you. So
yeah,
you got to try to play a clean game. That goes both ways. But Edmonton wants nothing to do with the Leafs power play right now.
No, they don't.
Right. That's, I'm sure, being told by both coaches, you know, as we speak. I'm sure Keefe and Tippett are both giving similar messages. Try to avoid ticky-tack calls and try to avoid power plays being handed out as much as possible. But, yeah, I mean, and then I guess on the secondary layer, there is a Tavares versus Draisaitl. To an extent. I mean, Draisaitl is what he is, and we just listed off his resume. We know about that. But Tavares has been playing really well.
He's had a great start.
He's had a great start. So if Matthews is going to pair up with McDavid, I would think the Kerfoot line will get a little bit of the other, you know, the Draisaitl line and the occasional time with McDavid. But you got to believe that Tavares line is going to be out there against either McDavid or Draisaitl a number of occasions tonight.
I think they'll go two lines on two lines, like you say, McDavid versus Matthews, Draisaitl versus Tavares, and then you're going to see probably that Kerfoot line against the Kyle Turris line. And that's what I would think, because the big argument, what I was reading today, was Dave Tippett has been very stubborn to not go back to that line that worked for him last year, which was RNH, Draisaitl, and Yamamoto. He's putting RNH up top with McDavid and Cassian and keeping Yamamoto and Draisaitl together, but they're putting the I'm drawing a blank on his name, left shot.
Dominic Kuhn.
Kuhn. Yeah, that's Draisaitl's buddy. They're trying to spread it out and have the two lines.
I don't like that move, Jamie. I like that line with that. That was a great line, man.
It was a fantastic line.
Guy won the Hart Trophy on the line and then you change it up. It's like, give the guy a chance.
But what they're trying to do is have more balance in their lineup. That's the, like, and when you're four games in, I can see the logic, but also you have to say we got to be concerned about wins and chemistry, right, and all of the
and
other
when
things.
When you try to get balance in the lineup, guess what sometimes you get? Ultimately, wow, nothing.
Feathers. Well, you're right.
Was it? I think Ray was saying yesterday, you know, how far away are we from seeing Draisaitl and McDavid back?
No kidding.
You know, at least, and I wouldn't be shocked if that adjustment happened tonight. The Leafs get out to a hot start, get up 1-2 and feel like the ice is tilted. You got to believe Dave Tippett is going to try something. You know, you throw a grenade into your lineup, you put the two, you know, best players together. We know the magic that they can create. They've done it before. They'll do it again. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Ray, when you think of the matchups tonight in with these two teams, do you immediately go to Matthews versus McDavid? Is it more Matthews versus Draisaitl? You know, what pops into your mind first and foremost when you see these two teams playing tonight?
Oh, Matthews, McDavid, for sure, for me anyway. It just seems to be stylistically that would be the best way to go. I don't know really that you're going to get one that's like one matchup that's way, you know, way better than the other. I mean, they're six really good players that are going to be, you know, but you're focused on the four centermen really. And so, I don't want to think of John Tavares chasing around McDavid. That's, you know, like that just doesn't work in my head. So I would go Matthews, you know, like I'd go Matthews.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on there. And I have to believe Sheldon Keefe is thinking that too. I think there's a better chance that Kerfoot gets out there with McDavid and might be able to keep up a little bit better. And that line might be challenged, like how well that line can perform in a game like tonight. That is what Sheldon Keefe has been envisioning, like a third line, shutdown line that can skate with McKayev, Hyman, and Kerfoot. Do you have the ability to throw them out, tight game, third period, and say, keep McDavid off the board? You know, we might get an answer to
that. And Hayes, even if they can get, you know, say they can give you five or six or seven good shifts a game against the McDavid line, that would free up Matthews to play against Turris five or six or seven times. It doesn't have to be all the time. You know, you can, right, you know, you can use different people in the matchup, but if you've got options, if something doesn't look right, you can go to the other one. Or you're tied late and you go, you know what, we're coming out of a commercial, they're coming out with McDavid. We could go with Kerfoot and then come back with our big boys back-to-back. And at some point, you're going to get past McDavid on that other team, on the other team, right? You'll have Draisaitl, then Turris, or Draisaitl and then Shore. So you put them on their heels by having another option. And that's the importance to me of what Kerfoot's line can be about.
Yeah, I mean, we said it right before you came on, Ray. I expect McDavid to play really well tonight, which is, you know, that's not a hot take or anything. But I think when you consider they're 1-3, he's back in his hometown, regardless of not having fans here. It's a big night for him. It's a night where he may have realized we gotta drag this team to 2 points the way the rest of the lineup is playing right now, you know, defensively, goaltending. So I could see McDavid being a rock star. And I think it's more of an opportunity, more of a platform for Matthews to prove that he has arrived, you know, in a category of that ilk tonight. And not only tonight, they play each other four times in the next 10 days. If Matthews can go, you know, step for step with McDavid over the next week and a half, probably tells us something about his training, his preparation, and his ability to, you know, accept that, okay, I'm a big boy. Not that he doesn't know that, but, you know, I'm going to go out and prove it. Like, these are big moments in terms of him continuing to grow as a player.
The best guys always want to be measured and play against the best guys. Like, they, you know, like, there's great satisfaction in scoring whenever you score, but if you get the upper hand, like, if McDavid gets it on Matthews tonight or Matthews gets it on McDavid, man, that's a big deal to them because it doesn't – they're always going to be in the press and by themselves. They're going to be measured against each other. That's just, you know, short of winning and how you get measured by winning, that's how they're all marked against. So I would think McDavid looks at this and, you know, I'm sure Draisaitl's the same. And they're like, man, we have to be better tonight because we've got other issues, but we have to be way out in front of the bus tonight. Like that's right. how they're going to win. That's how yeah. they right. That's how they're going to win. That's how they can do it right now, until they can get their feet back on the ground, because they're running all over the place. Everybody's trying to do everybody else's job, and all they do is give up 40 shots a night.
Ray, if you're Toronto looking at a D pairing to match up against McDavid, are you just kind of doing it by committee and good luck when you get out there? Or are you pinpointing two defensemen on the Leafs blue line and saying, you see McDavid go over the boards, much like Chara, any kind of matchup, as soon as he saw that guy go over the board, he would go over the boards. Do you have those two guys, or are you just saying who's ever out there do the job?
No, I think the top four more than anything, but I would be, you know, I'd be comfortable enough if I'm the Leafs with the top four. The third pair, I don't want them out there, you know, if I've got a chance. I that's not the best position for them to be successful against McDavid. I would tend to want Riley and Brody more than Muzzin and Hall against them, just for mobility. Again, McDavid's the greatest skater the game has seen.
Ever.
And if you're a quarter of a stride behind him, you might as well be 3 miles away. Like, you're never going to catch him. And so I would say my best bet would be my most mobile guys.
Well, Morgan Riley's a fantastic skater. And, you know, McDavid coming north and him trying to go south, you saw what happened. Like,
yeah, he turned him into a pretzel last year.
But to me, it's about containment. And if you can contain, like Montreal, I thought, did a really good job of containing them the other night and frustrating them and little sticks here or there. And they did it by committee. If Toronto continues to trend in the direction that, you know, this market wants them to, and that's being better defensively, being more responsible, that's what you need to do against top players every night. That's more playoff hockey. That's doing it by committee. It's not just one guy. Hey, we need Morgan Riley to shut down this guy. You know what? You need all five guys to be on the same page defensively so that, yeah, you're going to get shots on goal. You're going to give up shots on goal. That's what you rely on your goaltender for. But to me, I would like to see the Leafs continue to take steps. That's where, you know, I'm watching them and I go, okay, against Winnipeg, yeah, they played great in the second period. But when Winnipeg pushed in the third, how did they bend? Did they break? You know, they stuck with it. That's, to me, the sign of a team that's growing. You know, have you had any conversations or any you know, talks with any of the guys in Toronto at all, even the coaching staff, of where they want to be defensively?
Where they want to be is to cut ice off from the best players.
Right.
And so as you're talking, Noodles, I'm thinking of, I did have a discussion, and I think the most important spot on the ice when you're playing somebody like McDavid that's that fast and that dynamic is as soon as the puck turns over, the nearest guy to McDavid, try and get in front of him, even if it's just for one stride. Like, you can't take an interference penalty like the old days, but get in front of him, make him alter his path so his speed is reduced. And the people I talk to about playing McDavid, they talk about trying to reduce his speed. So when you talk about you know, playing as a group, it's funny, like the forward might be the most important guy, and he might only be in the picture for a second or two. But if Right. you slow him down, now he can't get out in the rush. You know the game against Vancouver, where he scored that unbelievable goal on the power play, he had the whole neutral zone to skate with nobody in front of him. So
right.
Edler ended up outside the Zamboni door because he was backing up so fast, right? Like you're like, oh my God, you got to back up. But if somebody had gotten in his path and made him alter his path, maybe you slow him down into something that your D can actually handle. And I think that's the key against McDavid. Always is to cut his speed to something more human, because when he gets the open ice, your D are going to have to retreat. They can't have a gap. Now they're in the zone, and now you're on the chase. I think that's the key tonight when they play him. Get to him as early as you can to just make him alter his path up the ice.
with Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. I was flipping around a little bit last night. I caught just a few moments of that Chicago-Florida game, and admittedly, it's not one I was intending on watching, and I'm not sure it's going to be.
That wasn't on your schedule?
No, it wasn't exactly. You know, Tuesday night. Let's spoon here and cuddle and watch the Panthers.
Chicago's going to have a tough one, man.
Well, that's what I was getting to. I mean, Taves is out anyway because of illness, but I just. You know, it parallels what's going on in L.A. The Kings are off to a bad start again. Drew Doughty's numbers are not very good. But you got Doughty and Kopitar, who they still have, and they're terrible. They're rebuilding. It feels like they're 2 or 3 years away at a minimum in L.A., and Chicago might be more than that. And you still get Patrick Kane there. You got Taves when he returns. I just don't know how that's going to work. Like, they're trying to hold on to the past and build into the future. Do this kind of hybrid rebuild, which I guess is what Boston did, and it was highly successful. But this, I just don't see how it's going to work. Like, if you're Patrick Kane, how's it going to work?
Well, I think it worked in Boston because enough of their players were still in the primes of their career, their younger guys, while the older guys were getting older. Like, all of a sudden, one of the best lines in hockey is, you know, they dropped David Pastrnak into it. And Marchand was still in his mid-20s. And Bergeron was getting a little older, but still, like, just a great player. Krejci was still a great player. Chara wasn't 40 years old yet. They had excellent goaltending. The difference between L.A. and Chicago, as I see it, even with those great players that you mentioned, is L.A. had 9 picks in the World Junior Tournament 2 years ago and 9 this past year. 18 of them in the World Junior Tournament. Chicago had a couple. Like, the L.A. next wave is just outside the NHL. Like, I watched them against Colorado last night, and they actually skated with them in the third period. I was like, man, that was good. Like, that was good. They're too young, and they're not quite good enough. But Chicago, I mean, like, Chicago doesn't have a goalie.
No.
Yeah.
No,
like,
no.
They're trying 3 young guys. Anybody? Anybody just go in there. They give up 5 goals a game, man.
That's the ultimate sign of mailing it in. Not mailing it in, but when you're throwing goaltending out there like that.
I honestly, the only thing I could chuckle about is it was 12:45 last night, and I was watching the same game on my computer, and I was like, what the hell am I doing? I'm not even going to be talking about these two teams at all, basically. I mean, I wanted to watch Colorado play because I want to see how good they are, and I they're legit. I think they're legit. They're, you know, I think they've got to be a chance to be one of the best teams in the league. So I wanted to see how they looked and that. But I'm like, I just go to bed. Like, I'm watching L.A. and Colorado last night. All we're going to be talking about this year and what we have and the games that I'm calling are all Canadian teams.
Matchups.
Yeah, right.
Canadian matchups.
But
it's like a different league.
It is. It's a different world right now.
There's what did you think of Colorado's blue pants?
I love them.
I like them. I love them.
I like
really.
I like them when they were at home and they had the light blue helmets too. I was like, wow, that looks good.
Yeah.
They're distracting for me. That's what it is. And believe me, and I played on.
Why is it distracting?
I don't know. I'm about picking numbers off, and when you're watching, and Ray, I don't know how you are when you're calling a game. Like, I try to just identify a player by, you know, something that they, you know, the way they carry their stick, left-handed shot, right-handed shot.
Look, right?
Way they look. And I was like, okay, that's a whole new look for me. I got to figure this out again. So that's kind of what was distracting me about them. You know, it's a petty thing. It's a personal thing. Yeah,
when they're out there, it is a lot of color. I was looking and going, though, oh my gosh, like, their defense is so young and so mobile, and they're going to add Bowen Byram to it in the next week here. But, like, Sam Girard was unreal last night. Connor Timmins is in the lineup. Of course, they got Makar, who's just a stud.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then they add Devon Taves from the Islanders. Like, that's good stuff there.
Yeah,
like,
I heard the announcer say, like, Eric Johnson's probably like their sixth or seventh defenseman. I'm like, that guy was a really good player.
First overall pick.
Like,
you know?
Really good player.
Yeah, they're chasing. You look at that division, like we talked about it coming in. Once you get to 4 and down, who knows? Minnesota.
Yeah.
It could be Arizona, maybe. I don't know. But it is clearly a race for that top seed because you want to play many in the first round. Whoever's second and third, you're playing like Colorado, St. Louis, or Vegas. You know, like
right.
You got whatever the order to avoid it. Yeah, whatever. Because they're all three of them are good teams. Like, Vegas is a really good team.
Doesn't it feel like the divisions the last couple of years with Boston, Tampa, and Toronto? You're like, man, if you can win the division, at least you can avoid the 2-3 series.
Exactly. It's the exact same thing. Exact same. Give me whoever it's going to be. Give me Columbus. Give me Carolina. Just avoid Boston or avoid Tampa. And that's what it's going to be out there. The same thing. Whoever gets first is going to feel really good about their chances. Anyway, we'll see. It's going to be fun tonight. Leafs Oilers, we see four times in the next 10 days. I guess you're calling that on Friday night, aren't you, Ray?
Is it? Yeah, I just went down to the studios here to check out my spot that I'm calling the game from. And it's going to be different, that's for sure. I mean, really great setup and all that. But, yeah, I'll be in Vancouver. Gord will be in Toronto. And we'll give it a go.
We'll make it work. It's going to happen.
Yeah, you bet. The best part is if there's a technical issue, I can help out, you know.
Oh, you'll be very helpful. You'll pick up your putter and start rolling putts in the studio.
They actually said today, the IT guy said, yeah, I told them in Toronto, we need to make this as simple as possible for you. And I was like, oh, geez, it's quite a reputation.
It's not even an insult. You're just nodding. You're like, yep, I totally agree.
Yeah, that's right.
That's very sound advice. All right, buddy. We'll bring it down tomorrow, 5:05.
Talk to you then, guys. Have a good night.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom remains open by appointment only, or you can shop and buy online at MapleToyota.com to receive rates from 0%. Just saw the Calgary Flames tweet out on this day in 2003. You guys remember what happened?
No.
On this day, 2003, in Calgary. I'll give you one hint.
Traded Theo Fleury.
Was there a
Colorado.
Brawl?
There was one of the two characters involved was the last person in the league to not wear a helmet.
Mac T ripped. Did he rip the thing off? Harvey the Hound?
Harvey the Hound and Mac T.
No way.
Yep. 18 years ago today, he ripped off the tongue of Harvey
the
Hound.
Well, Harvey the Hound was being a jackass.
He was.
He deserved it.
He was out of line. And believe me, I was with the organization. I thought he was out of line. And Mac T ripped the tongue off and then held it up like a trophy.
It's such a great video. I'm watching. Like, this idiot, Harvey the Hound, he's up on the glass at one point.
Yeah.
And then is walking down the aisle and going up to taunt a head coach. There it is. Megan just put it up on TSN 2.
Completely out of line.
Yeah.
Completely out of line. So Mac T pulls the tongue and then holds it up.
I love it. That was such a great moment.
Yeah. I wonder if Harvey got a talking to after that, like just tone it down a little bit.
I hope so. Like, just relax, Harvey. You're the Hound, okay? Just relax.
You're the mascot. Just don't do anything
stupid.
Go
get people riled up, but don't get in the face of a head coach on the opponent. Although it was the Oilers, so maybe they loved that.
Yeah, that was 2003. Wow.
2003. That's what I'm seeing, courtesy of the Flames Twitter account.
That's so funny.
Yeah,
I love it.
Pretty good.